thought on my heart tonight, and it's simply this. Is it ever a victory when God says no? When we pray, we're absolutely sure that what we're praying for, God should give to us. But for his reasons, he says no. Is he allowed to do that? And if he does it, is it still a victory? Well, don't be so quick to answer that. Father, I just thank you tonight, Lord, for your presence so powerfully here with us tonight and giving us victories in a way that we expect and sometimes in a way that we don't expect. In all things, you are God. In all things, Lord, you are faithful. And we do believe that all things work together for good to those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. All things work together for good. And Lord, you give us what we need. You don't always give us what we ask for. You give us the higher good, Lord, for you are working a divine purpose in every life for reasons that we don't fully understand. One day we will know it when we get to heaven. But till that day, would you give us hearts tonight to trust you, to believe you, Amen. To stand firmly in your promises, Lord, and to go through our trials, struggles, difficulties, knowing that there is a divine purpose for everything that you allow into our lives. For you do say all things, and so we can't have it two ways. It has to be all things. If you've allowed it for a reason, Lord, give us the grace to trust until we see the reason. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. So many people are suffering. So many people are struggling. So many people throughout the world are asking God for freedom, for deliverance, to be escaped something, something that causes pain, something that's distressing. It causes discomfort. And in our hearts, we say, God, I would be so better off and such a better Christian if you would just get this out of my life. And we look in the Word of God and we think we see promises to stand on. And sometimes it could be perplexing when we're asking God to do something which seems to be clear to us, but he's not doing it for reasons yet that we don't understand. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 had a perplexing situation like this come into his life. And he says in verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, we don't fully know. We can think that we understand a lot. There's a lot of opinions about this thorn in Paul's flesh. Some say it was his eyes because of another passage of scripture where he says to the church of that time, I bear you witness that you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me. Some say it's very obvious. Others say that there was this constant beating in the life of Paul. Everywhere he went, he was betrayed, stoned, shipwrecked, whipped, imprisoned. Made to feel pain. It was this constant buffeting of his flesh, this beating that just never seemed to stop. And yet Paul thought he was on solid ground. He had to have thought that to go to the Lord three times. And he said, three times I went to God and I pleaded with God. In other words, Paul was saying to Christ, please, Lord, take this away from me. You know I'm willing to live for you. You know I'm willing to serve you. You know I've given you my all. I've given you my future. I'm willing to travel. I'm willing to be an evangelist. I'm willing to speak wherever you... But God, please take this out of my life. It was a pleading. It wasn't just a prayer. And Paul could easily say, well, Lord, you know, I spoke to your apostles in Jerusalem and they told me a lot of the words you said. And didn't you tell us that whatever we ask believing, we would receive? Didn't you say that if we stood before a mountain and commanded it to be cast into the sea and believed in our heart that it would be cast away from us? So God, this is a mountain in my life. This is something I feel needs to be removed. It's painful. It's hurtful. It distresses me. I don't want to be here. So God, please take this out of my life. And just the same way that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane went three times to his Father and said, Father, if there's any other way that this can be done, if I don't have to endure this pain, if I don't have to go to this cross, if I don't have to suffer this separation from you in whatever manner it's going to take, would you find another way to do it? And this is exactly what Paul was praying. And it's not like he didn't hear the answer the first time. I'm sure he did. Three times. How many of us have gone to God at various times in our life and say, Lord, I think I see this in your word. Paul could say it was me, Lord, who wrote to one of the churches and say, I pray that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I mean, that was inspired by you, God, given by the Holy Spirit. I wrote that down. And so can I pray that for my own life? And for what conceivable reason would you deny me this one request in my life? Then Paul writes these words after the fact with an understanding. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. You see, Paul was given revelation of God that almost nobody in his generation, if not anybody at all, had in his generation. He tells us in the beginning of the chapter 12, I was caught up, he speaks in the third person, but it was about himself. I was caught up into the heavens by the Spirit of God, and I saw things and I heard things that are not even lawful for someone to utter. In other words, I was greatly privileged of God. He opened to me an understanding of spiritual things, and I heard things and I saw things. And God, of course, knew Paul needed to know that there was this incredible glory ahead of him. He had to have a taste of it, may I put it that way, so that he could write these words that I believe that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul had that vision of heaven. Paul knew things. He understood mysteries. But for a reason that he couldn't understand for a moment in his life, something was allowed to touch him that caused pain. But later on, with more of an understanding, he said, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, lest I should become proud. Lest the revelation of God's character and future and knowledge to me should lift me into a place that I was not intended to be. God knew, in other words, what was needed in my life to keep that pen in my hand pure so that I could write the words he was speaking to my heart and my life could have an influence and effect on those coming after me. Even though I pleaded with God, there will from time to time be something that God leaves. He says no, but his no is still a victory. It was a victory for Paul, and it was a victory for you and I, because Paul went through necessities, he went through distresses, he went through betrayals, he went through imprisonments, he went through loneliness, he went through trial, he went through hunger, he was abandoned in the sea, he was betrayed by false brethren. And Paul, because of all of this, could call out to us from the other side and say, follow me, you will never be overcome. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul could speak to us through the corridors of time and say, flood and fire and trial and difficulty and any weapon of hell that comes against you will not separate you from the love of God, the plan of God, the purpose of God. You will not be triumphed over. Not only to keep Paul from any kind of spiritual pride, but to be an illustration to you and I that even when we're weak, we're strong. The power of God rests upon us when he is our only trust. When we've not shifted our trust to our knowledge, we've not shifted our trust to our spiritual resume, we've not shifted our trust to any spiritual experience we may have had or will have. But when our trust remains in the Lord, it's in that condition that our lives not only won't be overcome, but we will become a testimony to those around us. You see, people around us are going through storms in life. And what if we were a people that could just with the snap of our fingers escape every storm? How arrogant we would be. What if all of our children were perfect? Oh, we'd be giving everybody advice, right? How to raise your kids, how to get them up at 5:30 in the morning, say, praise God, Mom, praise God, Dad. Is there any way I can serve you today before I go to school and get A's on all my grades? You imagine how arrogant we would be if there were no trouble in our home, if we weren't in our weakness depend upon a holy God. Can you imagine how obnoxious we would be walking through our day? As if we walked on some kind of a divine cloud and we ourselves never had to go through a storm. We never had to endure trial. We never needed the strength of God. You see, that's what happens. You know, we pray, we come to God nights like tonight and we say, oh Lord, why would you allow that job in my life? Why can't I have this position? Why can't I have that person for my wife or my husband? She's perfect. He's perfect. I watch them worshiping. They're perfect for me. What if God says no? What if that person would take your heart away from God? Is no? Can no still be a victory? He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That means the goodness of my presence in your life, the strength that I'm willing to give you every moment of every day. My grace for you to go into that job you have to go to every day, to go home to that home you have to go to tonight, to work with the people you have to work with tomorrow, or to be with the people who are searching for a job with you tomorrow. My grace is sufficient. My grace will give you a peace that passes all understanding. My grace will exude through you in your trial of a confidence in God that is not dependent on circumstance. My grace will keep you when your body is starting to fail. My grace will keep you when your circumstances are less than ideal, because my strength will be shown in its perfection through your weakness. Through that place where you are not strong, my strength will become your strength. And people around will look at you and say, how does she walk the way he or she does? How do they have that song still in their mouth? How do they have that confidence still in their voice when the things in their life are going just as bad as mine? They got to work for the same boss that I have to work for. They have to deal with the same circumstances. They have to live in the same neighborhood that I live in. Their marriage is going through struggles, but there still seems to be a song of confidence in the heart. Even though they're not the strongest people I ever knew, there seems to be a strength in them that can only come from another source. That's why Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities. In other words, in those things in my body, he's basically saying that are not right. You can, you know, live long enough and something in your body's not going to be right. You can take that one to the bank because that's coming your way. If you live long enough, something's going to start giving out somewhere at some time. You're going to struggle. You might be the healthiest thing on the planet right now, and you might be, you know, flexing in front of the mirror every day if you're a guy, or you just look so good, but just give it a little bit of time. Things start failing, folks. That's just the reality of being in the human body. It's all coming your way. And Paul, like, either you're going to lose your strength or you're going to keep your strength if it's in God. There's a moment coming in everyone's life where your body, you're going to have infirmity. Some have it tonight. And some are going to get it in the future. Now, God heals some, but some he doesn't. Do you know why, Pastor? No, I don't. I don't know why. I have no idea. I just know there's always a reason if you trust God. Years ago, I came here to help Pastor David Wilkerson in this church, and there was a somewhat of an upheaval in those days, and I stood with him and I fought with him, and we fought it through. And after we got through a difficult season, we saw 1,000 people come to Christ the next year. We baptized 1,000 new converts, and heaven broke open. But at the same time, I started to get really, really, really sick, and I didn't know why. I could hardly breathe. I would see these black specks in front of my eyes, and I was always on the edge of passing out. I started to cough. I loved to jog, but I couldn't run anymore because I couldn't breathe. I had no idea that our home was infected with toxic mold that we were living in. And I remember one day I was walking down 8th. There used to be a restaurant called Charlie Brown's there. It's not there anymore, but it was there. And I was walking in front of it, and out loud I said, "God, is this really necessary?" I was just so frustrated. I said, "Lord, I've been fighting for you, and I've stood beside the man of God, and I've given my all, and I've sacrificed a lot to be here, and I've fought hard, and I think I've served well. Is this really necessary in my life?" And to my surprise, the Lord said, "Yes, it is." And right there on the street, he unlocked the word of God to me. Psalm 119, there were three verses. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have learned your statutes. In faithfulness," another verse says, "I have afflicted thee." In faithfulness. That was so outside of my thing. Faithfulness, I've afflicted you. And when I just stopped on the street and began to pray and began to commune with God, suddenly he spoke to my heart and he said, "Carter, you are very strong-willed. I am going to teach you how to lean on me and be dependent on me. Because one day, if that part of your life is not fully surrendered, you could lead my people to a place where you don't want to go. It's not necessarily scripturally an error, but it's a place of weakness because there's no dependency on me there." I didn't know I was going to be the next pastor of this church, folks. It wasn't even in my thinking. God knew that he was going to put another vessel in this pulpit one day, and I would need to learn in my weakness to be dependent on him. I couldn't go anywhere I wanted to go because the strength in my natural body would fail me. If I was led of the Spirit and I went out to speak somewhere, I would come back stronger than I went out. If I wasn't led of the Spirit, it would take me 3 weeks to recover. And he taught me through this infirmity to be led of the Spirit, which is why this prayer meeting is the way it is on Tuesday night. And we do not push it in the flesh. I will take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches. In other words, when I'm falsely accused, when you go into the workplace and people are saying things about you that aren't true, and they're saying it because you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you feel powerless to defend yourself, and even if you could, nobody would listen. But God says, in that place, I will be your strength. Paul says, I take pleasure in my needs. I take pleasure in my persecutions, in my distresses. When I'm brought to a place where my natural strength can't carry me anymore, I'm able to look up and say, "God, thank you for not letting me rely on myself and on my own strength, for allowing me to be in this place where I couldn't go forward." Remember, he said to the early church, he said, "I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, of the trouble that came to us in Asia. We were pressed out above measure and above strength to the point where we despaired of living. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but trust in God who raises the dead. For when I'm weak," he said, "then I'm strong." When I'm weak. I don't know what God has allowed into your life. I don't know what it is that God won't take away. There might come a season he does, but there might be a season where he doesn't. But I want to tell you something I've learned over all these years. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Oh, praise God. I thank God that Paul's writings weren't just all revelation, wonderful as it was. If he didn't just spend his whole time writing to all the churches about what he saw in the third heaven. I mean, the whole of the New Testament could be filled with that, but how good would it be for us? I'd rather follow a man that had to go through flood, fire, trial, betrayal, loneliness, scourgings, pain, imprisonment, and everywhere he went, In his weakness, God won a victory. And even at the end of his life, when it looked like it was amounting to nothing, he took a pen, and what he had learned through his infirmities, he wrote it down. And because of it, you and I have that which is called the New Testament today. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. And I want to suggest that in your struggle, your trial, in your trust, that God is answering, maybe not in the way you think he should, but he's answering your prayer. You are the pen in God's hand writing a future in somebody else's life, writing a story through what you allow God to take you through that will give somebody else hope and courage for the future. So I want to suggest to you that in the kingdom of God, no is still a victory. Praise God. It's still a victory. And so for those that are online and those that are here tonight, here's where this leads to. That you and I get to a point where we say, God, if you want to, you can deliver me. But if you don't, I am still going to serve you. I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to live for you. And I'm going to declare that in my fire, you are sufficient for me. You will keep me, and you will make my life a testimony to somebody. Glory to God. I am not putting conditions on you, God. You don't have to do it my way. I trust that you will do it your way. I trust that my prayer will always be answered. Always, not necessarily the way I think it should, but every answer will be a victory. Every answer will take me one step closer to your power. Every answer will give somebody life and light through my life. Every answer will be a victory in your kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. So God, you won a victory. And my victory is not circumstance dependent. My victory is a spiritual victory. My victory is an eternal victory. My victory guarantees me strength in time of my weakness. You'll carry me. You told me you wouldn't forsake me. You'll make my life a testimony. You'll give me a song that can't be extinguished. You'll not let me sink. You will always lift me and set me on a place that can only be found in you, God. I'm trusting God that as Paul and Silas ended up in prison and at midnight they began to sing, I'm trusting God no matter what my circumstance might be, you will put a song of praise in my mouth. You'll put a song of glory in my heart. And I'm not holding you to any terms or conditions, Lord. I'm going to believe you with all my heart. And not only will you keep me, but your grace, your goodness will be made known. Your power will be made known. God Almighty, something of you will flow through my life that will bring others to the victory that you won on the cross. So, Father, thank you. I thank you, God, for truth. Oh, God, thank you for truth. Thank you for the liberating power of your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that all of our doubts and fears are answered in just one thought. We trust you. You are good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you, Lord, that you have a purpose for every life. God, for the shut-ins tonight, there's a purpose, Lord. For the struggling, for those in trial. When the time is right, you can set us free. And if you choose not to, there's a divine purpose to it. Help us, Lord, to rest in you. Help us, my God, to trust you. I pray, God, that our confidence in you would be deepened. For we are going to have to go through some rough waters, but you will keep us. Your grace will be made known in our weakness, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name.